Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. It's always a pleasure, it's always good to get together. Appreciate your desire to assemble to give worship as a congregation of God's people. The lesson this morning comes from, as Rick said, from the text that was read to us. And each point in the lesson is from a verse in that text. Titled the lesson, The Spiritual Blessings That Are Found in Him, meaning in Christ, only. In Christ, emphasized. And look at each one of these in point number one. It's found in verse 3. And I'll go through the outline first and go back and make the comments. But in verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessing. They're located in a certain spot. Number 2, in verse 4, He chose us in Him. Chosen, but you have to be in Christ to be among the chosen. Number 3, in verse 6, the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Point number 4 is verse 7. In Him we have redemption. Number 5 in verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Number 6, verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Then number 7, verses 13 and 14, in whom, or in other words, it's in Him, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we're going to look at these seven things or seven items that are found in Him. And I'm going to add the word only. These things are found only by being in Christ Jesus. When Paul addresses the letter to the brethren in Ephesus, he begins by saying to the saints who are in Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, they are in the church. The brethren, the Christians, are those who are in Christ at the start. It's the saints, the faithful. They're the same group of people, Christians in Ephesus, again, who are described as being in Christ. So the first question we ask by way of introduction is, how did that relationship begin? How did the brethren in Ephesus become brethren or saints? How did these people that Paul is writing to get in Christ? It goes back to Paul's third missionary journey, back in the book of Acts chapter 19. So when he writes this letter to Ephesus, go back to where he began his journeys, and he's going to Ephesus, and this is the story in Acts 19, beginning of verse 1. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, all right, here's the Apostle Paul who writes the letter to the church in Ephesus, that Paul, while he's on this journey, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Oh. And finding some disciples, so there were some followers, there were disciples. So he, meaning Paul, said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Good question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Oh, so they're unlearned. So Paul had a follow-up question. So he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? Well, they said, John's baptism, John the Baptist. So then Paul said in this dialogue back and forth, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's a good thing. So these disciples, they were baptized, but under John's baptism. which was a baptism of repentance. Paul explains that to him. That's what you did. And John said to the people that they should believe on him, meaning the Christ, who would come after him, after John the Baptist. That is, and Paul explained right in the text. So when you were baptized by John, it was a baptism of repentance. Turn your life around. But I want you to believe on him, meaning the Christ, or believe on Jesus, who is coming after me. Okay. Well, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ah. So Paul, when writing to these Christians in Ephesus, he adds to our understanding of what happened. And in another place, when Paul writes to the churches in Galatia, he said in Galatians 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So Christians, having obeyed the gospel message, having been baptized under by the name of Jesus Christ, are now in the church. They're in Christ. And so Paul writes to these brethren in Ephesus now, having left on his journey, writes back to them, and he says, in this opening letter, he said, "This is what I want you to understand." And so he begins to list seven blessings that are found by being in Christ Jesus, by being baptized. Number one, it's in verse 3. The word we're just using. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Who, meaning God, has blessed us. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Just by way of clarification, God blesses a world of people whether they are in Christ or out of Christ. God blesses people, His creation. Jesus said it in Matthew 5, verse 45. He, meaning God, makes the sun to rise on the evil. Oh, on the evil. God blesses the evil people. Yeah. With the sunrise, sunset. God makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Right. Even life itself is a blessing by God. Gives us life. So God certainly blesses all people. But now, Paul writes to the people in Ephesus and said, every spiritual blessing. Well, there's a difference. Every spiritual blessing is located in Christ. How'd you get into Christ? "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Oh. So this list in our text today, we are chosen. Because we are in Christ, we are chosen. We're adopted. We are accepted. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We've obtained an inheritance. We have salvation. We've received the Holy Spirit. I just added to the list. We've been added to the church. We have fellowship, hope, eternal life. We were able to put on the armor of God. We have prayer, help in time of need, reconciliation, sanctification, atonement, regeneration, justification, and we address God as our Father in heaven. Because we are in Christ. A world of people can certainly pray to God, but they, by necessity, have to pray God in heaven. But because we are in Christ Jesus, and we are children of God, we pray our Father who art in heaven. And God, the Father, blesses His children with every spiritual blessing. Because we are in Christ. I'm saying you'll count your many blessings. Name them one by one. So many times in our prayers, thank you God for your amazing grace. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins. We many of list the hope that lies within us. Thank you for every... We lack nothing spiritually. Every spiritual blessing is found in Christ Jesus. Number two, it's in verse 4. "Just as He chose us..." We are the chosen. "In Him, before the foundation of the world." So God chose, meaning to to decide to accept someone or something from a group of possibilities. So here's a world of people, but God says, I've chosen you who are in Christ Jesus for redemption, for salvation, for all the spiritual blessings. You're in. You're chosen. I choose you to be the beneficiary or the recipients of my grace. The opposite of chosen is meaning you're discarded. You're jettisoned. Thrown out. Oh, I don't want that. You're rejected. I want to be chosen. So I want to be in Christ Jesus for those spiritual blessings. It was the eternal purpose of God in this verse for us to be the chosen ones, to live a holy or separate life. He adds some interesting words too, to be adopted as sons into the family. And it's all according, Paul says, to the good pleasure of His will. God made that determination that I am among the chosen and you are too when we are in Christ Jesus. Salvation is located in a certain place. It's in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1 said, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Ah, in Christ Jesus. Number 3, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's God's part. God is gracious. So because of His grace, Paul continues, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So first of all, His grace, by His grace. It's not by my works. Not my looks. Thank you. Not by any brilliant idea that we can come up with. It's not our salvation in Christ wasn't determined by committee. By majority rule. By a single individual among us. His grace. It was God's loving favor. It was God's goodness. It was God's graciousness by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 said, For by grace you've been saved. That not of yourselves. That's right. It wasn't me. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So that's by the means by which we say, thank you, God. Thank you. I want to do what you say because I couldn't get to heaven without you. I couldn't have my sins forgiven without you. I wouldn't have the hope of heaven without you. So thank you. I want to give you my worship, my ministry, my service. Thank you. But He made us accepted in the beloved. Number 4, verse 7. In Him, that phrase again, we have redemption through His blood. And it goes on, the forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of His grace. That's right. Redemption is an interesting word. We don't use it very often. But it means if you redeem something, you've released by paying a price. And the price for God to purchase us was His Son's blood. And so by being in Him, we are released from paying the eternal penalty for our sins. The song we sing that helps to clarify that thought. It's hymn number 376. It says He, meaning God, He, Jesus, paid a debt that He didn't owe. owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And so now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Second stanza. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Third stanza. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And Paul mentions in the verse, in verse 7, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins, means to release from the guilt and the consequence of our sins. It means to pardon, to dismiss or send away the penalty that's due. Guilty is charged. I can't come up with a plan for forgiveness, so God did. He says, if you are in my Son by being baptized for remission of sins, redemption, forgiveness. Number 5 is in verse 11. In Him also we've obtained an inheritance. Ah. That inheritance is described by the Apostle Peter. At least in one place. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Peter begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now why should God be blessed? Well, here's one reason. Who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Ah, that's our verse right here. To an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Ready to be revealed at the last time. The inheritance of forgiveness in heaven is conditional. There's part of that inheritance we receive right now when we're baptized. Peter said that in Acts chapter 2, when all the devout Jews from every nation are gathered in Jerusalem. And Peter and the apostles stand up and they preach a message about the resurrected Jesus. He's convinced his audience that they crucified the Christ. They murdered the Messiah. Said in Acts 2 verse 36, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're guilty. Crucified the Christ, murdered the Messiah. What can I do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by a heavenly authority, in other words, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who are those who are being saved? They received that inheritance of forgiveness of sins immediately, right? The word, and they were baptized. But then, if we're faithful, we receive that eternal home reserved in heaven for you. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou the crown of life. So when we think about the spiritual blessings that God gives us, There's an immediate inheritance, forgiveness of sins. See, spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But then if we live faithful till we die, then we receive that eternal home in heaven. He says in the text, reserved in heaven for you. Ready to be revealed at the last time. So the inheritance, to be eligible, we have to be in God's family, in Christ, in the church. Number 6 is in verse 13. In Him you also trusted. Now here's an added condition. After you receive the word of truth. So I trust in Jesus. But first I need to hear the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. I need to hear that. So for my redemption and salvation, my trust is not in what the world is offering. I'm not going to put my trust in Muhammad or Allah or Buddha or self-realization or meditation or the Masonic Lodge or any civic organization or atheism or Joseph Smith or the works of men, nor in anyone on earth. In whom, meaning in Him, I trusted after I heard the word of truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, they said, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth, he prays. So he says, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? You have to hear. And then believe the message. Believe it. We sing a song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's my trust. My hope built on nothing less, nothing, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The last one, number 7, verse 13 and 14. In whom, there's our phrase again, in Him, in whom also having believed, in whom I've heard about and I've trusted, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you. Who is the guarantee, another interesting word, the guarantee of our inheritance. We just heard about our inheritance. We receive that Holy Spirit, that guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So we were sealed with that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, that's a sign of ownership. It's a reference to that ancient practice sealing documents, you know, with a ring into the wax sealing of the document. Kind of like we might think of it as a brand in our Western world. God puts that seal of ownership. What's the seal of ownership, God? How do I know I'm on your side? I've given you my Spirit. He dwells within. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it's a misprint. It should be chapter 6 on your notes instead of chapter 3. Chapter 6, the very bottom of your notes. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that? Who is in you? Whom you have from God? Oh, that's right. And you're not your own? No. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. So he says that Holy Spirit that he's given us, two different words. We are sealed, and it's a guarantee. King James Version uses the word erst. It's a Semitic term that designates a partial payment. God gives us his Holy Spirit as a deposit, if you will, or a pledge that the full payment will be made. The purchase is that the purchaser puts down some what we call that earnest money to show that you'll complete the transaction. So God gives us His Spirit. Says, that's my seal, that's my pledge, that's my down payment, that's my earnest money that I'm going to complete the transaction so when Jesus comes again, I'll receive you. That's the promise. I'm given you that. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now in those verses I put in your notes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know? I always like when Paul says that. Don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God is in you? Don't you know that? Why'd you give me your Spirit? That's a seal. That's a guarantee. That's my pledge. That's my promise. That if you are in Christ Jesus when I come, you receive the inheritance. So remember, all these spiritual blessings found only in Christ. And that to get into Christ, Paul said again in Galatians 3, verse 27, for it has been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. That's the way. That's the lesson. That's the invitation that we extend. If you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, you cannot enjoy these blessings. God's located these in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul gives us seven blessings that are found only in Christ Jesus. So let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Made that gospel good news message. You had that opportunity at this time. Simply let your request be known. Come to the front and say, that's what I want to do. I want to be baptized.